Veni, creator spiritus, mentes tuorum visita, in plea superna gratia, quae tu creasti pectora. Welcome along, listeners, to a podcast edition of Catholic Insight. We'll talk today about apologies and apologia. In light of Pope Francis's recent penitential pilgrimage to Canada and what it really means to offer an apology and how this might play out in Canadian terms in our own history and what we do in the days and weeks ahead and how this might affect our own relationship with each other, the Indigenous people with the Church and so on. I'll just offer a few thoughts more in general principles rather than too many specifics. And allow listeners to reach and derive their own conclusions. So the word apology derives from the Greek apologia. It literally means a reasoned defense. So we see in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make an apologia for the faith that is in you. That is a reasoned defense of the faith. That's where we derive the whole science and art of apologetics and how to defend the faith, how to remove obstacles against the faith, make reasoned arguments for the faith, science and faith relations, church-state relations, and all the that whole faith and reason complementarity that JP2 discusses in his Fides et Ratio, the encyclical from 1998. We can also go back to Plato's Apology, where Socrates makes his own apologia, his reasoned defense at his trial for corruption and impiety, and why he was not guilty as charged. Now, obviously, we derive the English word apology from the Greek apologia, so apologia has a broader sort of notion than our specific English version of apology, where we say sorry for something. Now, even in saying sorry for something is still a rational act, an act really that should be virtuous. In saying sorry, we have to be specific. If you want to take this in a sacramental context, which St. Thomas discusses in the Tertia Pars in his article on penance, this question 85 of the Tertia Pars, St. Thomas asks whether penance is a virtue. Now, by penance here, he specifies this to mean a contrition, that they're so feeling sorry for our sins. And so contrition is a vague thing at first, an emotion. And we don't just go into confession and say, I'm sorry or I've sinned. We have to be more specific than that. And it's requisite we be specific in offering quote-unquote apologies, both in a sacramental context in confession, but also in a broader secular context in the notion of offering apologies to others. And this becomes more complex the more complex the offense, the more people are involved in the offense, especially if we're offering apology on behalf of others, and if the offense happened in the past and the offenders and the offendees are in some ways no longer with us, but the effects still linger. So with that said, just to ponder a couple of caveats for the Pope's Apologia, whatever we think of it, and some of the more practical aspects of it. So in terms of apologizing for others, now in terms of apologizing for others, the difficulty there is we don't know the level of guilt. Some things are just lost in history, and there's a lot of historical details that have to be parsed out. So we must make distinctions and be careful in distinguishing the good from the bad. So in terms of residential schools and whatever happened at the residential schools, just keep in mind a couple of distinctions that, first of all, missionary work and the work of converting others to Christ, to the fullness of truth, to the fullness of revelation, is in itself a good and noble thing, in fact, a necessary thing. And a necessary endeavor that Christ commands us to do, go forth and baptize all nations, to bring them into his church. So overall, the missionaries who came to this land back in the early part of the 17th century onwards to the modern day, and the Oblates in the 19th century, were in essence doing a good thing. So to bring people to Christ is a good thing. On the flip side of that, paganism, shamanism, whatever you want to call it, any sort of way that is contrary to the way of Christ is not a good thing. Now, not everything in a non-Christian society is bad, of course. There are many noble and good elements, and this is what Vatican II clarified in her own document, in its own document on non-Christian religions, Nostra Aetate, that there are good elements. Nothing is completely lacking the truth, and some have much more truth than some have much truth than on a spectrum, sort of, if you want to put it that way. From and we don't want to throw out everything in a religion, in a non-Christian religion. So as now, obviously, the church had to clarify this. As Saint Marguerite Bourgeois was ahead of her time in her own work amongst the indigenous, that she realized you do not have to make a young person French to make them Christian. Now, obviously, this to parse out what is good and bad is a difficult thing. And so the easier way is just to remove everything in the indigenous culture or most things, and then impose a what was seen as a superior culture, French, if you want to put it that way. Obviously, this by and large could be was unjust, and we wish that things had followed more the wise advice of Saint Marguerite Bourgeois and others, which we would see this now, that we could take what was good and perfect it. And this is what the Catholic Church should do. The Catholic Church should enter into any culture, perfect and purify it, and bring what is already incipiently good in the culture and make it more perfect. Now, with that said, we must take into account that many aspects of Christian revelation have been embedded in certain cultures, that is the Greco-Roman culture. Pope Benedict clarifies this in his Regensburg address in 2006, that in purifying, perfecting cultures, part of that perfecting and purification and conversion process has to entail, to some extent, that Greco-Roman history and tradition that is just the way that God chose His revelation to be couched and explained. So it's really impossible to be fully Catholic without adopting some element of the historical context in which revelation was carried through the 2,000 years of the Church's history. Now, obviously, this concludes things like the Fathers of the Church, all of whom wrote either in Latin or in Greek. So the fathers, the patristic sources in which much of our tradition is embedded, the liturgy, of course, Gregorian chant, the music of the church, the way liturgy is done. Now there is some leeway here for quote unquote what we call in the church's teaching enculturation, but this has limits, and I won't go into specifics of that in this brief podcast, but just be aware that there are ways and means of enculturating some aspects of the liturgy for to make it amenable to different cultures. But there is an essence of the liturgy, along with many aspects of it, that must be maintained according to how the liturgy is embedded. And then as we go further afield into other aspects of evangelization, education, and teaching, pedagogical methods, they can also be modified, but at the same time, embedded within the church's own tradition and history. Now, the final thing I'll say here in this reflection is the notion of satisfaction. So, to make this sort of bring this back to the analogy of the sacraments, in confession, there are three integral parts, St. Thomas says. There is the contrition, that is, being sorry for our sins, and that has to be clarified and perfected as a virtue. As St. Thomas puts it in his own pithy way, it belongs to right reason that one should grieve for a proper object of grief, as one ought to grieve and for an end for which one ought to grieve. Now, if this applies to the individual, it applies even more so, or at least in an analogous way, to a corporation, a body, the mystical body of Christ, which we call the church. And as the Pope, as the head of the church, apologizes on behalf of the church, must be specific. Who did what to whom, for how long? And so the vague notion of being penitent can't be applied to things that are good, as we just mentioned earlier in these reflections, that we can't be sorry for bringing the faith to Canada, nor for trying to perfect the Indigenous culture, to remove or help remove what is imperfect or damaging. And again, we can go into the details of that, but I won't remember it's very difficult to parse out. And then also what sort of satisfaction should be done. So we've got contrition, then the confession itself. So the integral parts are contrition, confession, that is making one's apology, the confessio. And then the third integral part of the sacrament is satisfaction, that is making up for the offenses. Now, this is where the details will get very murky in the next and controversial in the days, weeks, months, even years ahead, as remuneration, satisfaction, compensation are sought. And this is why it's difficult, you know, to say, well, how far will this go? And at what point is enough enough? There have been many wrongs in history done to many people, not minimizing anything done to the Indigenous people here in Canada. But there's only a limit to how much justice can be attained this side of heaven or this side of the general judgment. Justice is not perfect in this life. I've read one place where there's calls for a financial compensation of up to $500 million, which really would destroy the church and its temporal dimension in Canada. I mean, I wouldn't say destroy, but would certainly debilitate. The church must be able to continue her mission of evangelization while purifying and perfecting her own mode of evangelization and carrying out the work of ministry, the work of conversion. And that's not just initial conversion from paganism or whatever other religion to the faith, but also the ongoing conversion of Catholics themselves in the growth in holiness, which, again, to allude to Vatican II, is the primary way of the primary mode of a missionary work, and that is to become saints ourselves. And on that note, I'll leave you the intercession of Our Lady, Saint Joseph, and good Saint Anne, and today's patron, Saint Alphonsus Liguori, and the foundation of the moral life, who doctored the church. So God be with you all. Let us hope that reconciliation and peace are attained in that spirit of goodwill and charity that only God and the Holy Spirit can give.